My name's Zach Zappone, and I'm a teacher running for state representative in the 6th Legislative District. I was born and raised here in Spokane, graduated from North Central High School, and became a teacher because I believe everyone should have a fair shot at economic opportunity. I went to college in Washington, D.C., where I was one of 3 students from all of Eastern Washington. My roommate was one of 22 boys at an all-boys private school in New Jersey. I would come home and work at McDonald's on Indian Trail, and my roommate would use his parents' connections to work on Wall Street and Capitol Hill. So I decided I would come back to be a teacher here in Eastern Washington and teach middle school English and history to really fight for students to have a fair shot to more better economic opportunity. I taught middle school English and history in the Tri-Cities, where I worked really hard to advance opportunities for students, raise higher standards, create after-school activities. And I realized that no matter how hard they worked, they really struggled to get ahead. They struggled with issues with lack of access to mental health and healthcare needs, transportation and pathways to jobs. Not everyone goes to college, and I realize that we need to make sure that we're providing them opportunities with better career and technical education programs. So I left the classroom, got my master's degree in public policy from Princeton University, and worked on issues in healthcare and higher education and transportation. I moved back to Spokane to serve our community. And I've been back and working as a substitute teacher. And since the pandemic hit, I've been volunteering to get food to people in need, and decided to run in this race because I think that our community needs a representative who will fight for their needs and provide greater economic opportunity, especially when it comes to good jobs, good schools, and good healthcare.
So are you not doing substitute teaching this fall?
I'm still on the list, but they don't need as many substitutes right now.
Well, and you're kind of busy with a campaign anyway, so I guess that's probably best. What was it like to teach? What was it like to teach in the spring at a time when kids were not in the classroom?
Yeah, well, that was also strange. I was substitute teaching, and I was at North Central the day that Governor Inslee announced that schools were going to be closing. And it really had this weird atmosphere where no one really knew what was going to happen. Students were looking to teachers and asking, you know, like, are we going to still have practice today after school? What about sports? What about homework next week? And everyone was just really uncertain. And that was a weird moment. And we just had to, you know, work through it together, and everyone had to learn what was going to be happening. We thought it was going to be only temporary, and then it turned out to be long-term. And it was great to see fellow educators really being able to change their whole style of instruction, the whole classroom, super quick. And I give them big props. As a substitute teacher, it wasn't really needed, again, because it was all virtual. So they were able to, and so that's why I realized, okay, if I'm not going to be used as a substitute teacher, I have skills that I want to put to use in our community when there's so much need. And so that's why I started volunteering to feed people.
Well, so not a lot has changed, it seems, in 6 months. There's still a lot of uncertainty about that. How would you characterize the way Governor Inslee has handled the coronavirus situation?
Oh, good question. I guess I believe that we should be taking a public health approach to follow it, a public health approach to dealing with the coronavirus. And I think at the beginning, again, there was a lot of uncertainty. We didn't even know a lot about the virus. And so it was using the best knowledge that we had at the time. And then as it's gone on, it's been about, you know, reopening things safely and getting the economy back to work, getting schools back so students can be learning, especially students who are left out. In the spring, the schools were completely closed. And so students with disabilities, students with lack of internet or homes that aren't safe, didn't have a place to come learn. And so they've really worked to make sure that we can bring all students access to learning opportunities, and same with the economy. So I think we've been doing, or Governor Inslee has been, taking the science approach, the public health approach, and that has been positive, but it is still frustrating overall to not be back to normal.
Are there things you think he could have done differently that you might have counseled him differently?
I think that would have been nice. I don't think Governor Inslee would have been asking me for a lot of advice. I think that they were busy looking for the medical and public health officials, which I think is the right choice rather than, to state representatives or candidates.
Yeah, well, so you've talked about public health, and the coronavirus certainly has brought more attention to the role of public health. And public health officials say, hey, you know, we don't have enough resources to be able to do all the things that we're needed to do. If you're a legislator, how would you approach public health and its role?
Yeah, I think we've seen that public health plays a critical role in our community. And if we don't have a healthy community where everyone is even covered with insurance, then we're all at risk and it can shut down our normal way of life. And so I think we need to have a robust public health department with the resources that they need, and we need to continue funding it. And we also need to be looking at how can we leverage manufacturing in our community to bring medical supplies, masks, gowns, pharmaceutical, how can we manufacture that here in Spokane so we don't have to rely on foreign countries for those necessary supplies to reopen our community, our economy, and make sure that everyone's able to get back to work and do it safely.
So do you have ideas for how the state can handle that, how the state can help with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, starts with making sure that we have enough tests. I know a lot of people have had to be waiting for COVID tests, and still to this day, the process of getting a coronavirus test can take a while. It means that we need to be investing in contact tracing and making sure that's robust so we're able to find the virus and bring it back. And we also need to be prepared for, you know, making sure that the supplies and medical professionals and schools and small businesses all have the necessary supplies they need. There's been shortages on that front still to this day, so we need to be investing in that and promoting that industry locally.
Well, so you've identified the need, which is
yeah.
Admirable. I guess what I'm asking is, do you have ideas for how to take steps toward doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes funds and investment in our community, that we need to be dedicating money out of the budget to public health to meet those needs.
Is there one thing that got you into this race? I mean, for some people, they're, you know, 9/11 happened and I decided I had to do something about it. Is there one thing that finally got you to say, this is the year for me to do this?
You know, in the spring, I wasn't planning on running for state representative, but what really got me into it is I was looking at the need in our community and then looking at our current representative's record. And I've been spending my career working to make sure everyone has a fair shot to economic opportunity, working in the classroom, working out in the community, and just realized that our current representative is not doing that. He's not out in the community. He's not supporting education, especially as a teacher. That was a big issue to me. And decided that I could be a representative that was going to fight for a better future after the coronavirus and fight for our needs here in Spokane and Olympia and making sure that everyone has a fair shot. And so I decided that I had a lot to offer. I had a lot of training, a lot of skills. And most importantly, I go around to our community groups. I go around to people's houses and hear their needs and want to fight for those in Olympia. And I've always been doing that, whether it was in the classroom or volunteering in the community or in healthcare, and thought I could take those skills and our community's voice to Olympia.
I'm always curious with first-time candidates, and it sounds like you're a first-time candidate, right? What are your expectations if you win this office? I mean, have you sort of visualized what it would be like to be a state legislator?
I mean, I'm really keeping my head down right now. I'm working throughout the campaign, not thinking about what happens next too much. I think it's more about still going around and hearing the needs of our community. And I spend a lot of time just talking to folks and asking them, what are the issues? What are the barriers to success in your life? And how can we work on that? I think in Olympia, you know, it'll be a place where there's going to be a lot happening. It's going to be a big year. It's going to be a really important legislative year. And I have a lot of training from public policy. I got my master's degree in public policy and studied issues in housing, homelessness, healthcare, transportation, education. So I know and budget and state and local budgets. And so I know I have a firm grasp on all of the issues that are impacting our state. And I think it's going to be really prioritizing the issues here in Spokane, which I hear people talk about all the time. It's just making sure that people have economic opportunity and their education, continue to fight for our schools so students are getting the resources they need. And then, again, making sure that we have public health and safety and a response so we can reopen the economy and get people back to work and have some pathways to good jobs, especially with career and technical education. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking about a whole broad range of a whole broad palette of things, but as you hear people talk about things, are there one or two that you sort of gravitate to say, okay, here's where I can really make my mark? Have you gotten to that point yet?
Yeah, I think my background as an educator is a big issue that a lot of parents are dealing with right now is with virtual school and childcare. And making sure that students are getting the help that they need to make sure they're learning. And then also, especially when it comes to mental health issues, students and youth especially are having a growing need of mental health. And I've seen that in the classroom, and I know how important it is and how we need to be having more counselors and more services, bringing those together in the community. I think of schools as a hub of our community. And I always think about care for the whole person and how can we make sure that a child, a student, an adult is able to get care so they're able to thrive together. And so thinking about, well, we have some mental health services over here in this part of town, how can we bring those to be more accessible to people in our schools where they're at? And I think that's an area that I can make an improvement and just really understanding what it's like to be in the classroom and knowing, you know, we have a lack of internet access and broadband, especially in our rural areas and still in town too. And knowing that creates a real barrier to success for people. And so being an advocate for making those changes is going to be really important.
So let's go to that rural internet access, well, and urban internet access as well. Part of the problem is getting it that last mile out in the country. You can get the access to Colville or to Newport, but then getting it up into the hills where the houses are still up there. And that's a pretty expensive way to go. How do you attack that one?
Yeah, as I say, the two issues with the internet is accessibility and affordability. So it's that last mile. If we're able to get it there, it becomes prohibitively too expensive for individuals to be able to afford. And when I think of internet and broadband, it's really infrastructure in our community. It's like building roads, and we need to have good roads so everyone can move materials to promote our economy. And that's the same with the internet. And so it does take public investment and public infrastructure to make sure that everyone's connected and everyone has the ability to get high-speed internet and that they're able to get to school that way and get education training and work from home. And when we're able to have that, we're able to have communities that are prospering and thriving. And we've seen a lot more working from home, so people are moving back home to more rural areas, and it could be a really big boom to smaller communities to have people living at home and bringing their dollars to their smaller community. And so that just takes public investment, and we have to realize that's a priority in our community and in our state.
Is it the state's job then to string the wires to get it out there, or does the state just write the check and let somebody in the private sector do that?
Yeah, I think the state does the best when it helps support private businesses, and you know, I think that comes with budget and appropriating it to allow the private businesses to do it quickly and efficiently to do it. But I think it'll depend on the unique area. In some places, private businesses might not have the ability to do it, and so then the state can step in to do it.
So let me ask you about police reform and the calls for with the George Floyd and all the other Breonna Taylor and others, and a state committee looking at, you know, how can we reform our police? Do you support efforts to improve accountability and transparency among police?
I think it's a big national conversation that has local implications that everyone's talking about. I hear it all the time at when I'm talking to constituents, is it a concern for our criminal justice system and our concern to make sure that it's working for everybody. And I think that means that we need to be having conversations and looking at reforms that include more oversight and accountability for police, and making sure that different groups of people are not disproportionately affected by police and over policing.
Is it the state's role then to put restrictions on chokeholds or determine how police review boards operate? Or is that more of a local function?
Yeah, I think the state has a role in guaranteeing a minimum across the state of certain standards, and that each local area can then build upon those standards. But the state has a role of protecting everyone in the state and setting some basic standards, and that does include chokeholds and also limiting the use of deadly force by police departments and making sure that everywhere has accountability and transparency by police oversight boards.
All right. So let's talk then about we all had wildfires and smoke kind of inundating us until a week and a half ago. Does the state need to spend more money to prevent and fight wildfires?
Yeah, I think this comes down to public health and safety. When we're not taking care of our natural resources, it can debilitate and cripple our way of life. And when we can't go outside and we can't recreate and shop and do things outside, it's a big problem. And so the state needs to be doing good forest management, helping firefighters with the responses and making sure that there are efforts to combat climate change and prevent wildfires from becoming out of control. This has been an issue that's growing. I grew up here. I don't remember having smoke season every year. And now schools are being canceled. Sports are canceled. And we're not able to have a normal way of life. And it seems to be an annual thing. And so it's the job of the state to make sure that, you know, we're taking care of our natural lands and natural resources and preventing it.
So Lands Commissioner Hillary Franz has proposed like $1 a month surcharge on certain insurance, property tax insurance, that sort of thing. And then to create a wildfire prevention and mitigation fund. Is a tax like that something you would support?
I wouldn't be able to commit to any certain specific revenue streams. I think I would have to consider, you know, who's impacting and making sure that's not disproportionately impacting hardworking families, and making sure that it helps. If everyone pays their fair shot and it's not disproportionately affecting.
So I'll ask my last question and let you have your shot. I'm always interested in what candidates look for when they evaluate other candidates, when they have their ballots. What are the things that you look for when you decide to vote for somebody?
Oh, that's a super interesting question. When I fill out my ballot, I take the time, like most voters, to research and get to know who are these candidates on the ballot. And things that I'm looking for are what's the things motivating them, and what are they going to work hard for us? Are they going to be out in our community? Are they going to be listening to our needs? And are they going to be taking it back to Olympia or Washington, D.C., or the county or city council, and really fighting for everyone to have more opportunities? And then I look at their background to see if it matches with what they're saying. Are they someone that walks the walk, or are they just talking the talk?
So, Zach, that's what I've asked you about. Are there other issues that are important to you that I didn't ask you about that you wanted to make sure that get on the record here?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, this election's a big election at the national level and the state level and the local level of county commissioners, and everyone, you know, is going to be taking the time to research and think about the issues. And the question of what do we want our community to look like on the other side of this pandemic? Are we going to rebuild and and come out stronger, or are we going to make it sure that we have an economy that works for everyone, including, you know, new students that are graduating from high school and those who lost their jobs and need retraining, and or are we going to go back to the ways where those at the top are benefiting and able to take all the rewards, kind of how we rebuilt after the Great Recession of 2008. We have an opportunity to fix the wrongs from 2008 and build a better society for everybody that works for everybody.